Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and, of course, mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 650 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaska mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Oh my, but we have a fascinating program planned for you today, folks. In just a few minutes, we're going to meet today's guest, and of course, that's Don May, one of Alaska's most well-known and respected placer miners. But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe. And that, of course, is our Frontier History Quiz. Now, the first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question will win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Listen, folks, just as a little background information for the question, the first discovery of gold in the Fairbanks area is credited to Felix Pedro. A monument located at 17 miles Steese Highway marks the discovery claim. Now the question is, what year did Felix Pedro make the gold discovery in the Fairbanks area? My goodness, we have a quick call.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I didn't know I was on. What about 1898?
Close, but no cigar, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what, though, just as a consolation, let's send you over to Alaska Prospectors there and pick up a free sample of Alaska placer gold. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Hey, what's your name, partner?
John Mann.
Okay, John, stop over to Alaskan Prospectors.
All right, thanks.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
1902.
Yes, sir, you got it. And what's your name, sir?
Bill Risto.
Bill, I'll tell you what, you gave us the correct answer. Why don't you stop up here at the KFAR studio anytime after 3 o'clock today and pick up a ticket, and that will get you into Laura's Gold Strike for dinner for two. How's that?
Sounds great. Thank you much.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Well, that took care of our quiz for today, folks. And, of course, the answer was Felix Pedro made his discovery of gold in the Fairbanks area in 1902. And that, of course, was, thank you very much, Bill, for answering the question. Now, let's just take a minute out here and talk about one of my favorite jewelry stores. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality. And when you want quality, you think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larsus can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and other gemstones from their large inventory for your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you are getting quality as well as value. At Larsen's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service.
But
yes, sir, Michael, you can go anywhere and get looped. But listen, folks, don't let Michael interrupt us here. Larsen's is more than just a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larsen's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larsen's can. Located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. Easy number to remember. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for their for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. Now, just a moment, we'll meet Don May, but first we want to give you one little bit of information from the calendar of events. The Mining Extension Program at the University of Alaska will be offering a class on mining and milling on Tuesday, beginning on Tuesday, December 1st. And if you'd like to have more information on that particular program, call the UAF Mining Extension at 474-7702. That's 474-7702. It looks like I'm going to have to teach that class. Don, how are you today?
Jim, I'm just fine. I'll tell you, I'm just sitting here and I'm just marveling. I think you're needing another hat. Let me just reiterate here a little bit. Professor Jim Madonna, he takes us young fellas and he instructs us up at the university. And then he sends us out in the field. And then we got to come in and buy things. And then we go to his store. And now I see him on the cheering section here. Now he's sitting over here and he's cheering us on. So, Jim, I'll tell you, you're a man of many talents, and I guess it's an honor to be here today. I didn't know just what all was in store, but I appreciate being here today, and I'm just fine. And it's enjoyable to sit up here and maybe put in a little plug for our industry.
Well, Don, I think we grew together in this industry beginning back in probably 1972, if I'm not mistaken, that you took a class from me at the University of Alaska Mining Extension. And it looks to me like we've got a phone call here. Maybe we've got a question for you right off the bat.
Okay.
Hi there. This is Jim.
Hello?
Hello, is this KFAR?
Yeah, you're on the air. This is Alaska Gold Trails.
I didn't know I was talking. I was going to tell you something good that happened to me. Is it all right? Are we supposed to talk about gold?
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to talk about gold, but what do you got?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you that I had an appointment with Donna Sebo when she was in town, you know, and she told me that there was something major in my car that I should repair. So the only thing I could think of was a CV joint that I was told last summer to fix when I got the money. So I made an appointment with these guys out here on Badger Road, you know, to look into seeing if it needed to be repaired. And boy, it was just about ready to fall apart. So it was so bad.
Well, she did.
So she saved my life.
She did you some good, huh?
By telling me to. Yeah, I didn't realize there was a talk show going on that was on the air.
Well, that's
I just called up to tell the station that I'm really that they had her on, you know?
Well, thanks for telling us that the radio station is doing some good out there, and I'm sure glad that she was able to help you out.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. Well, Don, let's talk for just a moment and, about what brought you to Alaska and how some of the first activities you took part in when you came to the state. Where were you from originally, Don?
Well, Jim, I came up from North Carolina in 1950. I had wanted to come to Alaska, just like the glamour does for a lot of young fellows. I grew up with Alaska bug and went in the service in 1948. I just turned 18 and left home, went in the service. And it was kind of interesting because you know how it is after basic training, you have three choices. And I put all three of them as Alaska. And, of course, the way the Army does things, they kept me in South Carolina. And that just intensified my desire to come here. So as soon as I got out of the service, got here in 1950, in July of 50, the Korean War had just begun. And Fairbanks was a beehive of activity, except at the particular day we got here, the whole town was seemed to be on strike, and men were standing around looking for work. And we decided to go on to Circle, and our adventures really began from that point. And this was pretty much my idea of coming to a country that was new, had a lot of opportunities, a lot of adventures. And I'll tell you, Jim, it has not disappointed me as far as adventure is concerned. Mm-hmm. I've had it to the full ever since I've been here.
Well, when you came, your primary objective was to take advantage of the frontier activities that were here in Alaska, and in terms of trapping and fishing and mining and things of that nature. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jim. And like I said, you know, we talk about it being a frontier. Of course, that's well overdone. We're all well aware of that. And there were old-timers around who had been right here from the very beginning, and you'd see them around town. And these were men who had been here 40 and 50 years, and they were just living out their last days. And sit around and listen to some of them talk. It was very, very interesting. I think of some of the old-timers, Mr. Nordale and Fred Parker, the father of Carl Parker, and the list just goes on and on. Of old-timers, and you'd sit down, I could sit down and talk to them, and they were very congenial people, and they would tell you some of the stories, things that happened when this country first opened up, right at the turn of the century, and the things that they had to face, and of course, a lot of their records and things are in the archives and where they should be, things that shouldn't be lost, because these are the people that helped blaze this country, and the reason Fairbanks is here is because it was a mining town. And Fairbanks, of course, has always been a mining town, but times are changing.
What was the first activity that you launched into when you arrived here in Fairbanks, or in the interior of Alaska, Don?
Well, of course, we came to Fairbanks looking for adventure, and we were just opened as to how things would work out day by day, and we got up to Circle, and we one of the things, I say we, it was another fellow that I grew up with. We were both about the same age. There was only 5 days difference in our age. We were both 20 at the time, and we put in a little collapsible canoe, a Kalamazoo canoe, and we floated down the Yukon, and our thoughts were, well, we can certainly paddle back up. But, boy, we found out otherwise. It takes a mighty strong arm to be able to paddle against that current. So we wound up in Fort Yukon, and there was a forest fire going on at the time, and they pressed all available young fellows into work. And next thing we knew, we were out there on the fire lines. Now, of course, it was considered an emergency, and nobody got paid for that. It was just expected for you to get out there and work. Well, we run across a fellow there by the name of Jerry Rivard, and he had an old boat, and he said he was going to go back up to Circle, and he was looking for a couple of deckhands. If we'd be interested in caulking the boat, we could get passage. So it took us 5 days to go 90 miles coming back up the river. It was so slow going, it was unbelievable. But he had a trap line over on Birch Creek, and next thing we knew, we were over there in August of 1950, and our adventures were really beginning from that point on.
And that's where you really started. The Alaskan experience was right there in Birch Creek then.
That's correct, Jim.
I'd like to get into more detail in just a minute, but I have to pay a few bills, Don. Import Auto Body at 2201 Judd Street, next to the Jade Shop. Tim Schroeder is there ready to serve you with free estimates, excellence in body work, and, of course, insurance estimates. Import Auto Body uses the very finest materials available. Also, they have a unibody frame straightening and alignment machine. Using this latest technology, they simply put your car on the machine, then realign the frame to factory specifications. And keep in mind, folks, this machine is not limited to imports. Factory replacements, you bet, they have them. Window replacements, they can do that too. Restoration, they have the very finest in Fairbanks. They feature famous genuine Saab parts, and they have a urethane primer that will make your car like new. Find a deal on a used import that only needs minor repairs and take it to Import Auto Body. They can fix it up for you. Import Auto Body, specializing in quality auto body repairs. They're located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop. Give Tim a call at 451-8456. That's 451-8456. Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Altaway. Folks, you're going to enjoy this. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. And what you're going to enjoy about it is that because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. And that, I think, is very impressive. Mm-hmm. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machine cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolt cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both the standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at what they have in stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. And you plaster miners out there, ask Bob what kind of special service he might have for you. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. Now, Don, back to the experience in Alaska on Birch Creek. Give us a rundown on just what you did out there.
Well, Jim, we try to live off the country. And that's a pretty rough way to try and do it, I'll tell you. We had taken in provisions with us, what we could afford. I think, if I remember, we had about $8 in our pocket when we went in that fall. Of course, you have $8 when you come out in the spring. And we were pretty lean and mean by the time we got out of there in the spring. Now, we did have access to the hot springs there. I don't remember what the mileage was. It would take a full day of breaking trail. There was no snow machines. We couldn't afford a dog team. So everything had to be snowshoed to wherever we were going with a pack on our back. So we would get down to the hot springs once a month, first for a bath, a shower, dip in the nice, pleasant waters there, and to pick up our mail. And Mrs. Leach was the postmistress, so I'll always remember. She was the old Alaskan style. She and her husband had pioneered that hot springs up there right after the turn of the century. And very congenial, nice folks. You know, come on in, boys. Have a cup of coffee or a cup of cocoa and some cookies. And, you know, and after what we'd been facing for the previous month, it was always so much of a relief to come in and spend time there. But I would never advise anybody to try and go out and live off the country, Jim. It's a hard thing to do. We ate all the squirrels that were in the trees. We ate all the porcupines that were around, and we had some moose there. We ate three moose that we had, and we're just continually hungry.
This was back in 1951, right?
1950, yeah, Jim. Yeah.
I'm really making you a frontiersman.
No,
here.
No.
Tell me, what were the experiences that you had on Birch Creek in terms of living off the land there? What did you do to generate money for when the winter time was over? What was your thoughts?
Well, we had a trap line, and of course everybody thinks, well, you go out in the hills and there's a lot of fur out there, but boy, it sure wasn't. I remember we had about 12 to 1,500 miles of snowshoeing under our feet, and then we wound up with about 14 marten and I don't know, several weasel, and that was about it. We weren't set up for beaver trapping, and you had to have a special setup for that, and so that was the extent of 7 months out there. And like I say, it's very hungry country. And before we went in, though, in the fall, we'd run across some ground up on Ketchum Creek, and we'd gone on over there. There was no need to set up any claims as such. Some of the other old-timers said, just go on up there. There was a fork up there. That's ground that Joe Vogler's had now for a number of years, and this was before Joe had it. And so we set up a box and we started producing there. And this was hand shoveling now, mind you. And at $35 gold, or gold that was probably either where from about $28 to $31 an ounce in value, we started shoveling the yards through by hand. And after you get 8 or 10 yards through a box like that in a day's time, your hands start getting those old blisters on there. And you start thinking, there's got to be an easier way to make a living. And Joe, I remember, came back to town and worked for about 3 weeks on construction that fall. And I continued to hold down the area out there. And he did right well in construction then. You know, a guy would make a buck and a half to $2 an hour here in Fairbanks, and that was a good wage. So we were able to keep going, but again, it was the experiences that we picked up that winter that even held to me to this day, because if things start getting easy for me, all I got to do is start remembering the harder times like that, and it shakes me right out of it, out of that lethargy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good for everybody to have to experience severe hardships in their life somewhere so that they can always go back and say, I don't want to go back to that. It might have been a good experience at the time, but there's better things out ahead.
What I'd like to do, Don, is I'd like to know just how well you prospered from that full year's winter's worth of work after we talk about some of the people that sponsor Alaska Gold Trails here. Hey, folks, it's bonanza time. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They are having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6-year, 60,000 miles limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, 2 or 4-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection. A smooth ride with fully independent front suspension is standard. Excellent visibility. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s. Handsome styling with comfort and convenience. All units in stock have 4-wheel drive. Now the S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, sizes to fit your needs, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension. Hot wax coating on the entire frame helps fight effects of road salt and dirt. And finally, on the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is now standard. Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet side or step side boxes are available. Crew cab or bonus cab are available, and your option, gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet 1916 Cushman. Phone 452-8211. And remember Robbie's little safety comment. Buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Ah, B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's kind of like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping gets you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few of the items. You can get jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and of course, Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and for your convenience, 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Okay, Don, let's get back with just how much revenue did you gather from your trapping and mining experiences that first year here in Alaska?
Jim, it was very poor. I remember it was in the spring, and we knew that FE Company would be hiring young fellas. This was up in March. So we decided to, the mail plane would come by every week, and we finally decided we'd close the trap line down and head to Fairbanks. And we landed out here at Weeks Field. It was a Ween plane. They had the weekly mail run up there, and it was a big old Norseman. So we came in, and of course we had no money to pay for our airfare in, so they asked us to leave all our stuff there while we took our furs uptown to John Swagler. He was the fur buyer at the Nordale Hotel. So we spread out our whole winter supply of fur on the bed there, and he made an offer to us, and of course it wasn't enough. And we had to haggle, never enough. We had to haggle a little bit, and he met our price that we had. It was about $200 for these marten, and we took it back out, and we had a few dollars after we'd paid off our airfare to get to Fairbanks. So that's about the extent of it. We had enough to stay in town for a few days and to look for a job, and we'd gone to Al Seeliger. He was the man that was in charge there at FE Company on Illinois Street there, and Al was very congenial, and he said, yes, we'd be looking for some young fellows like you, but it would be a while before he could hire us. Meantime, we picked up a job with PK up at Murphy Dome. Murphy Dome was just in the building stages, and we went to work up there. We were actually getting 25 cents an hour more, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And all the food you could eat. And you never seen a couple of chowhounds like us. And we really put the weight on. And then from there, it went into another adventure where we left after we'd had about $1,000 saved and went down along the coast to Cordova. And that was another long story. We wound up on a salvage ship, and we went out to Cape Newenham, and a whole long list of things happened after that. But again, that was all part of adventure. Good things for young fellows to go through. I would never care to go through them again. But it's all in the past.
When then, Don, you came back to Fairbanks. Did you get into business for yourself when you came back to Fairbanks prior to launching into the gold mining business full time?
Oh, yes, Jim. I came back to town, and just like a lot of fellows in Fairbanks, and not really sure what you want to do, what you want to get into. And I started to work for Standard Oil over there. About 1954, I believe it was. I'd been in the ice cream business, too, before then, and worked for Mrs. Hill and Mort Cass. I can't hardly remember their names now. They used to have the old Alaska Market, about where the Woolworth building is now, on Cushman Street there. And they had a warehouse down 219 and a half Wendell Street, called the Broken Arms Apartment, because if you'd fall down the steps, you were sure to break your arm. But it was very interesting, because these were a lot of old-time pioneers, and they were still around, and they owned a lot of the ground around town, and it was most interesting dealing with these people, fine people.
Well, we'd like to launch into your experiences in the gold mining, but before doing that, let's talk about a friend of yours. What kind of equipment, what kind of sluice box do you have in your gold mining operation today? Who built that sluice box for you, Don?
We have three of them, three plants, and I got those from Hector's Welding out at North Pole, and we had some boxes that we'd gotten from him, and they were nice, but then, just like everybody, you get different ideas. So we went back to Hector with our ideas on that, and he said, sure, we'll custom make it for you. And that's just exactly what he did. He went ahead and he built two of these, we called them flush boxes, because they were high volume. And there was a good price tag tacked to them, but I'll tell you, they sure paid for themselves fast.
Let me talk a minute about Hector and some of the other things that he has available out there. You know, Hector's is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and he's been serving the Alaska mining community for over 40 years. That's almost as old as Michael Dresser is. You know that? And they have on stock just tons of steel for manufacturing purposes. And they have, of course, a 14,400 square foot shop, which is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. And listen to this for a group of services that he offers. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And as you've just indicated, Don, they specialize in mining equipment fabrication, including such things as sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, screening plants, and they also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have portable welding units for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas, as Don says, your blueprints, and they'll fix something up for you. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rust jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service, they have flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available for you there. And you plaster miners should remember that all you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, give them a call out there at 488-6432. And the question I've had on all my shows, folks, is how would you like to strike it rich? Well, that's precisely what will happen if you travel out to 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you'll have! An enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered, now frozen lake, I would suspect. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy exciting new tastes, the menu alone will be enchanting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, and of course, the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. Give it a try. I guarantee you'll love it. There is a complete list of main dishes, including veal plates, seafood plates, chicken plates, and of course, we don't want to overlook the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightfully tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. And don't forget Two Rivers Special, Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. Once again, the number for reservations is 488-6815. Go out there, enjoy, and tell Stasha and Don Jim sent you. Okay, Don, what what do we have? What when you first entered the mining industry, it was about 1972 full scale, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jim, I have always been interested in mining, of course, in those first days up here, and never was able to really get my weight into it because of raising a good-sized family, three sons and three daughters here, and kept my nose pretty much to the grindstone just to put food on the table again each month. And finally, there came a day when we were willing to take a risk, and I went in with another fellow on some claims right up here at Esther Dome. I just look across from the window here, and I look right up the end of the area that we worked for about 4 years up there. And I would put that up to a college education any day as to what I learned up there on that hill, digging holes and working underground. And again, it was something that we did not come out on. And many times I was ready to give up, but again, it was just hanging in there day by day, year by year sort of thing. And about 1978, I gave up on that, and we picked up a lay on some ground down in the Richardson area. And we got a lease from a gentleman by the name of Gil Monroe. Mm-hmm. And things started from that point, started turning around for us. We actually started getting some gold for a change. And that was a big encouragement to us after all those years.
Now this was placer mining, was it, Don?
This was placer mining, but it was high up on a ridge. Mm-hmm. And other people had tried down there over the years, and there'd been a long succession of failures at it. And so we had our chance at it. We were either going to succeed or fail at it. That's just that plain and simple.
Well, this particular type of placer deposit that we're speaking about here wasn't the kind that you would find directly in the stream then. It was up on the hill and probably then associated with the original ore deposit, or the lode veins.
That's correct, Jim.
And what was the character of your gold there? Was it coarse, reflecting the source area?
Some of it was very coarse. Some of it was residual gold, of course, and then others had been hammered and fairly flat. Mm-hmm. But consistently, it was chunky gold, what we mm-hmm. would always refer to it as. A lot of it, of course, was formed right into place. It'd be formed right in the schist. So we have all sorts of contortions and beautiful designs in the gold. And when we were selling that gold here in Fairbanks years ago, the jewelers liked it because it was a nice, unique type of gold. It was low grade as far as gold is concerned. It was running anywhere from 640 to about 690 on the fineness.
Mm-hmm.
They would call it almost 14 karat gold is about what it was,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much silver it was in it.
That's called electrum then, isn't it?
That's right. So people would ask, are we gold miners? And if we wanted to get technical, no, we were electrum miners.
Don, there were some stories that early on that led up to the discovery of that area, and there were some successful mining ventures that took place in the streams that drained that particular mountain system there. Could you give us some information on those? Or,
well, of course, that was called the Tenderfoot Mining District, and that started in 1904. It was very interesting how it ever got its name. We're not really sure. Of course, Fairbanks came into being in 1902 and 1903, and a stampede started here, and a lot of miners would be coming through from Valdez. They would come right through the Richardson area there. A lot of these were tenderfoot, and that may have possibly added emphasis to that, because a lot of these guys were getting their first taste of mining, and they were tenderfeet when they would come through the area, and they would mine there, and then they'd realize, well, there's got to be an easier way to mine, and then they'd go on to Fairbanks.
Did they make any big hauls out of those streams at all? Or
yes, on Tenderfoot there, that was always considered the $1 million mile there. Mm-hmm. And that was on $20 gold, and there was some very good claims there. It was deep, and of course that gold was mined out years ago, and now the highway was plunked right over the top of those tailing piles. Mm-hmm. As you come down off the ridge, it's about 82-83 mile from Fairbanks on the Richardson Highway.
And after working that area, how long did you work in the Tenderfoot area, Don?
We were there about 4 years, 3 to 4 years. I can't remember now, Jim, because we started pulling out of there just like we started phasing in and then phasing out. We have a number of claims that were on up Banner Creek and then on up into Democrat, where we took a lease from another party up there and worked up in there one summer. And it's just become a whole episode of different events. After we'd worked the ground out that we had, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to give up, get rid of all your machinery, or you're going to have to program yourself up to be able to start leasing from other people. And this has become a whole new experience for us, because just this last year we were on five different creeks with our mining company.
Well, in mining the Tenderfoot area, how did you... You were up on a hill. How did you get the water to wash the gravel? How did you process the gravels then?
Well, it took us a couple of years to figure out the best way on that, Jim. And we finally wound up with a pipeline that was 5,000 foot long and 507 foot over that 5,000 feet of getting that weight of water up on that ridgetop. And this is where others, of course, had tried and were unable to come up with a successful plan. We needed about 3/4 million gallons of water a day for up there. So we had to relocate through the old timers' ditches that were still there from the turn of the century. We brought water around from Banner Creek, brought it into Buckeye Creek, and had four large holding ponds. And our pump station was down there, and then we had a pump station partway up the draw in Hinckley Gulch, which of course had quite an illustrious background also. And then took the water clear to the ridge top. And one of my sons had an excellent idea in a flapper, which we used a piece of the Alaska pipeline for. And it worked out just beautiful. After every day's operation, we'd let the water go, and then the pumps would be running all night as we'd be putting in a new pond of water up there. So we had a good system going. We had mining engineers from the university would come down. They would look at it, and they appreciated what they would see. And I just wish that thing could have gone on forever, Jim, but that's not the nature of mining.
That's right. Sooner or later, the ore reserves run out, don't they, Don?
That's right.
Look, I want to get back into your more, the newer mining operations that you have, Don, but first I want to talk about Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair, and that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year in the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this, folks, you're going to love it. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicle ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or a tune-up at Gabe's, you'll also get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belt, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers, that's amazing, three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. That's comforting. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, folks, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove compartment. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Give them a call at 456-6156. Jim and Jeanette James of North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair, located on Badger Road, 1 mile from the North Pole intersection, directly across from the telephone company, want you to know that if you've got lawnmowers, tillers, 3- and 4-wheel ATVs, and motorcycles that need work, Jim can and will repair them. That's right. If you've got a small engine that needs repair, just call Jim or Jeanette at 488-7373 or 488-9339. And listen to this, folks. If you've got some painting or construction to finish up, They have the rental equipment you need to get the job done. Whether it's saws, power tools, heaters, generators, pressure washers, loaders, or compactors, North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair will rent you the proper equipment to take care of those unfinished jobs. That's North Pole Equipment and Small Engine Repair, located at 3068 Badger Road, serving the people of North Pole and Fairbanks with quality small engine repair and equipment rentals. Give Jim or Jeanette a call at 488-7373 or 488-9339. Don, following your experience out there in the Tenderfoot, you went into mining up where, in the Circle or Central District of Alaska off the Steves Highway?
Yeah, it was almost like going back home again, Jim, get back in the Circle area, ground that we had walked over and trapped over years before. Now, all those areas were claimed up, and it was just like we had missed a golden opportunity by not staking up a lot of that ground, but that's mining for you. So now, if we were going to do any mining back in our old home turf there, we had to now lease the ground from other people.
And you then leased that ground and put in some pretty large equipment on their ground and mined efficiently and effectively.
Well, I guess so, Jim. We had about 22 people working for us there on Crooked Creek. We were going around the clock 7 days a week. We had five D9s going and a bunch of other stuff, about three or four loaders going. And we were producing, and real pleased to see the way things were going. Could never seem to quite get enough material, and a D10 showed up there, and we thought, well, let's take a chance on that piece of machinery. And I'll tell you, Jim, ever since that time, I have been a good fan of Caterpillar, but more so than ever when I see what a D10 is able to do.
I know on a couple of occasions when I visited your mines, Don, you've always said that every placer miner in Alaska ought to have a good D10.
Right.
Yeah, you were well satisfied with that piece of machine. Then following the Crooked, how long did you mine on Crooked Creek?
We were there about 2 years on Crooked Creek. Actually, in production-wise, about 5 months. The gentleman that we leased the ground from thought we would be there 8 to 10 years. And, of course, it just wasn't that way at all because we got into high gear and were able to go through it a lot faster. Did not go all the way up the creek because of the fault that went across the creek at an angle. It really changed things for us. And, of course, people wonder why gold is where it is and all these different factors. And, you know, Jim, after you get through mining an area, you understand it so much better than you do before you go in.
Sure. And so, Don, I don't want to be too nosy, Don, but when you're mining with that much equipment, and we're talking now, a D10 and a couple of D9s and large sluicing equipment, this is no small endeavor. What are we talking about in terms of required gold recovery just to pay for the equipment on site?
Boy, Jim, that's a hard question to answer because these have always been things that we have struggled with over the years. You, of course, have a good cleanup. You look at all the bills you've got. You look at your payday. You know, most people say, oh, boy, I can't hardly wait till payday comes around. But, you know, when you get to be the employer, you dread payday. Because, boy, here it out it goes, you know. And if you're not producing enough, and it's a struggle, and it seems like no matter how much you make, it's never quite enough to handle everything. And I guess it's just part of the curse that we're all under. So you've got to be able to figure you're either going to stay mighty small or you're going to have to get big enough to be able to cope with the problems that are out there. And when you come down to a dollar and cents point on this thing, that is the real tickler on that. Mm-hmm. And I know that you teach this in class up there on economics of this whole thing, because if you're not making it, why waste your time out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don, as the size of the equipment increases and the volume of gravels that you can process increases, what is perhaps the lower limit of values that a large mining operation can expect to retrieve out of, say, a cubic yard of gravel, how dollars and cents wise?
All right. Can I just go back a little bit and say what FE used to have to figure?
Sure.
What they'd figure on $20 gold, they figured 10 cents a yard. Now, this was on a large volume.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that shakes a lot of people to realize, but remember that the price of gold has gone up, 12 to 15 times over that. So we're probably, probably around 20 times over that, mm-hmm. over the $20 gold. So we're looking at maybe $2.50 a yard material. I can't quite make it at $2, $2.25 because FE was so efficient with the dredges. We had a break-off point, what we figured at about $3.65 a yard on Crooked Creek there. And that wasn't too deep. It was running 12 to 14 foot to bedrock. And then we would take a foot or so of bedrock, depending on where the particular cut was at. And it again just became a high volume situation to see whether we could survive it or not.
We've got about a minute and a half here, Don. I'd like to ask you, since the Crooked Creek experience, you've then opened up several more mining operations. You've expanded to how many last year?
We had three operations going last year. We had two of the large boxes from Hector and then a medium-sized box. And we also tried a small box at one time from Hector. And whether Hector realizes it or knows about it yet, we're going to probably be custom making another box down his way this later on this winter.
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that. And so you had three operations this past summer, and in next summer you think that you'll probably be looking at two or...
Yeah, we may shrink it back down to two.
Some college.
It just gets to be too much for me to handle, and of course my sons are excellently trained. They're the project managers on these creeks, and they hire and they fire their own men. And by now, we've got all excellent personnel. We're still working right now, and even this late in the winter.
Well, Don, we're running a little short here. Once again, folks, the time has slipped away. I want to thank you, Don May, for joining us today, sharing your time with us. I know we've learned a lot about mining in Alaska. I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. With your calls, keep them coming. We love it. Next week's guest is Del Ackles from Gold Dust Mining. It's been fun, folks. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, happy prospecting.
From ABC News.